Lord this morning. Let's take a hymnal and turn over to page number 248. Page 248, and let's everyone stand and sing Just Over in the Glory Land. Sing now.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in.
Amen. It's so good to see you, and let's go and sing the last verse this morning.
Calvary Baptist Church, and let me say it's a joy and honor and privilege to be here, and it's so good to see you and come out to the house of the Lord this morning. And this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I know we say that repetitively, but it's still in the Bible and it's still true that we will give the Lord praise, not just today, but every day. That's our goal. And I hope everybody has had a good week this past week, a productive week. And I know that we've been busy with several things concerning the church and our members. Had Brother Bob Gladden's funeral, homegoing service this past week. And so I encourage you to continue to pray for his family as they start to live their lives as they continue with life in Brother Bob's absence and with his absence. We know he's forever healed, forever changed. And, you know, we got to thinking the other day, in the past, I believe it's been the past 4 weeks, we've had four funerals. And some are members, some in relation to our members. And let's just continue to lift one another up in prayer. And those who have sent loved ones home to heaven, let's remember them. I do want to mention this morning our homecoming service on next Sunday morning. And we know this is a homecoming service, like no other. But we're not going to focus on the current conditions in our world. We're going to focus on the Lord. And so we're excited about a homecoming being next Sunday morning. Originally I said 11. We're just going to roll that back to our original start time, like we've always done it, at 10:30. That way we can have plenty of time for singing and give Brother Snyder plenty of time for preaching. And so we're looking forward to that homecoming next Sunday morning at 10:30. Brother Bobby McClendon is home from the hospital. That is tremendous news. Brother Bobby has went through it all. First, he went to the hospital a couple weeks ago, stomach not doing well, and he ended up having stomach surgery. I believe it was from 7 to 10 days, he didn't even have a drop of water. Can you imagine? He had an IV, giving him his fluids. And then finally, after surgery, he drank, I think, just a little bit of liquid, maybe tea or something, and it set him back with a fever and such. But Brother Bobby's home now, and Miss Nancy had him sitting in the garage with the door up, and just the other day, and so that's a blessing. But please remember them in prayer, Bobby and Nancy McClendon. Let's continue to remember Brother Allen and his Captain Ross and his wife that are hospitalized. We had special prayer for them last Sunday morning, and so let's continue to pray for them. Miss Terry has strength for days ahead. Miss Barbara Anderson, Powder Springs Transitional Center, Rehab Center, and if we have urged those who can, those who are able to, if they would, not only to go visit Miss Barbara, but we'd like to have a log of that visit so we'll know day in and day out who's seeing her and who's not. We don't know how long she's going to be there. We hope she's released in the morning, but she may not be. And you can give, if you have an email address, send that to Miss Darlene Hancock. She'll send you a link to the sign-up genius. Or if you can't get a hold of her, you can send it to me, Brother Brian, Miss Melita, someone on staff, Brother Pat. And we'll get that link to you just to at least record that visit so we know who's going and who will be there to say hello. Those that know the nursing home and those kind of places, my dad lives in one in Roberta, Georgia, and it's just something about it when you walk in, you know. It's a continual mental challenge, to say the very least, because when you walk in, it seems like this is the last stage and then it's over. But that's not the case. My dad's been living in one for going on 5 years now, and he's at a good place. But let's just remember those who are down. Barbara Anderson, others, all of our shut-ins, those who are struggling right now, those mentally who are in a bewildered state where they want to believe, but yet they're struggling to believe. That is the promises of God and the help of God. They're struggling. Let's just remember one another. Let's remember our world this morning. Let's remember all those who were first responders. And let's remember this upcoming election in November. Amen. We need President Trump to go again. And I said that, and that's what I believe. Everybody's entitled. Again, log on to our church webpage. There you'll find the bulletin tab and a full length of all of those who are sick, who are different things they're going through. Brother Trail Norton texted a request in this morning. Brother Harold Dolph is not feeling well. He texted me just a moment ago, actually, having quite a bit of trouble this morning. So let's remember everyone. Let's remember our service this morning. In spite of everything, who's glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we bow with humble hearts and ready minds. God, we've mentioned, we've talked about those who have been sick, those who are sick, those, Lord, who have been to the cemetery lately. Father, we pray that you would just minister grace to them in peace. Be with them, lead them, guide them, direct them. Lord, no doubt those that are on the sick bed and those who've been to the cemetery, they're experiencing a part of grace that those of us that are here and seems like we're all doing well are not experiencing right now. I'm thankful that God gives grace in the time of need. Lord, this morning I pray that you bless the singing, every singer. O Oh, God, I pray that you'll bless Brother Allen as he leads. And, Father, we do pray for the preaching time, the teaching time, that, God, there will be a connection between your word and the people. God, help me not get in the way of that, but just be obedient and preach what's on my heart. Father, we pray for homecoming that Lord, we're still leaving in place our CDC measures. We're conscious of that. There is a virus going around, but we are still going to maintain our safety. We're not living in fear. We're just being careful, and we're preparing. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless Brother Snyder next Sunday and bless those singing. Bless the beginning and the ending of that service. May you be glorified. Be glorified today. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, could we sing the chorus that David's playing? There's something about the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Yes, there's something about that name.
Amen.
Broken by sin and all its illusion, I weigh the gain against the loss. Oh, and thank God I found Calvary's mountain. I found victory at the foot of the cross. I found victory at the foot of the cross, where the Savior conquered it all. I had doubts
that only he gives me. He saved my soul from eternal loss. Oh, and thank God.
thank the Lord there is victory at the foot of the cross. There's level there's level grounds around the cross as well. We are all in need of mercy. I want to remind everybody that the tithes and offerings will be at the doors after the service. And it costs to keep these lights on. I want to mention that. It's been a blessing being here so far this morning, and so grateful to see each and every one of you. So good to see the Echols back with us this morning. And let's remember their family. They've, due to the COVID-19, have lost, sent a few home to heaven. And praying for your family during this time. The Echols. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn for a few moments to the Old Testament book of Job. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. One of the hardest things in preaching is knowing the direction to go. I'm like Brother Brian said last Sunday morning, that trust me, I would not be in this book if God did not direct me to this book. But in the book of Job, chapter number 1, in just a few moments, we're going to read verse number 20 through 22. Some say the book of Job is the oldest of all books of the Bible. Also, the book of Job this morning is known as a poetical book. In theme, the book of Job is known as a poetical book. Most believe it's the oldest written of all books in the Bible. Job being a poetical book is like unto the book of Psalms being a poetical book, the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. All these are classified as the poetical books of the Old Testament. As we look at Job and think about the book of Job, the New Testament speaks of Job. In the book of James, chapter number 5, verse 11, the Bible says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies." I believe we all can say amen to that. Is that life has hard times in it, but at the same time, we have a very compassionate Lord. He pities us as his children, the Lord does. He's full of tender mercies. And so we see that Job is very known and is mentioned here and there in God's Word. Again, book of James, chapter 5, verse 11. But let me say this about Job. The man Job was a man, as much of you know, a man of character and integrity. In fact, the very first chapter of the book of Job, in verse number 1, notice with me, the Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. He was complete. He was mature. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. The very appearance of evil, Job shunned. He got away from. Also in chapter number 2, we'll see in verse number 3, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man?" Notice this, "one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Job is a man of character, a man of integrity, a man of longevity, a man who is steadfast in the Lord. Again, Job is known as the patient man. Job was definitely patient with the things that were unfolding in his life. At least twice from chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, we see that the Lord says that there's none like him in all the earth this particular time. How about that? What if the Lord were to give a testimony such as that? Oh, there's none like my child down there. One that is perfect and upright. One that shuns evil or eschews evil. For God to say there is none like that child of mine down there. What a compliment from our Lord. But I want to say this morning and go a step further and say, in spite of all the things said of Job, in all of the realities of Job, still came devastation to his house. There's one thing about it, church, that sometime or the other, much of us have already experienced some measure of devastation, I'm sure, in our lives since being on this planet. But we're not exempt from devastation. We're not exempt from trial. We're not exempt from trouble. But in spite of everything said about Job, devastation still came to his house. I want you to notice in chapter number 1, in verse number 13 through 19, we see that Job lost at least three things. Starting in verse number 14, we see that Job lost his farm. In verse number 15, we see that Job, he lost his friends or his servants. And as you follow this out, you'll find that Job also lost his family, save his wife. I do want to call to your attention, in the midst of all of this loss, that all of this happened in a single day. If you go back and look in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And you'll find in verse number 16 this familiar phrase, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said." Verse 17, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said." Verse 18, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said." Of course, that last messenger, the news that he got was probably, now let me rephrase that, it was the worst news out of all of those messages, and that was, his sons and daughters are gone. And now that leads me to verse number 20. Because my question is, what did Job do when he got all that news? How did Job respond? What did he do when he got the news and all of those messages came from that one messenger? "Job, you lost your farming. Job, you lost your friends. Job, I'm so sad to tell you, but you've lost your family now." Devastation came to the house of Job like it does much of us in our time, in our life. Probably this is the most dramatic scene of devastation I've ever seen or heard about. It's when you lose your finances, and then you lose your friends and your family, your kids, and then eventually in chapter number 2, his own flesh is failing him. His own health is diminishing. And so the question is, what did he do? Notice, if you would, in verse number 20, the first three words, "Then Job arose." Job is getting ready. The Bible is telling us, getting ready to show us what exactly Job did in the midst of his devastation. There's no indication that he did anything prior to this. It was just a relentless knock at the door, another knock at the door, that last devastating knock at the door. Job, your family's gone. What did he do? Notice in verse number 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. This morning, for a few moments, I want to look into those first three words as my launching pad, my text verse, in verse number 20. Then Job arose. I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, and that is when Job got the news. When Job got the news. Probably, at least in my category of favorite Bible characters, would be Job. Because someone to receive such devastating news, to respond the way he did, and didn't even have the Bible to look at to see what was going on between heaven and earth and the conversation between God and the devil. He knew none of that, like we have those luxuries today. But Job was definitely a man who had longevity. He was a man who was determined. He had faith and patience. And so this morning, I want to try to encourage all of us from Job's experience and try to glean some things that Job did in reaction to this devastation. What did Job do when he got the news? Number one, I want to say that in verse number 20, we see the reaction of Job. Just a few things that surround this idea of what Job did. Number one, we see the reaction of Job. I want to say that his reaction was twofold. Number one, it was an emotional reaction. Look again in verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. It was an emotional reaction. I mean, especially in the culture of that day. And really, I've read that even in some areas of today, when a person, when they used to, in Bible days, will say, when they rent their tunic, they rent their clothes, they ripped off their shirt, the robe that they had, and then they went on to shave their head. It was an expression of grief. It was an intense moment of pain. Can you imagine the first message that came? Job, you lost your cattle. And then Job, you lost your servants. Job, you lost all the things that had to do with those things within your farming system. But Job, you lost your family too. In a moment of passion, and in a very emotional time, Job, the Bible says, he arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. You'll find that in life, we don't always respond the way that we want to when things happen. This, of course, is a sign of, it's a symbol of grief and mourning, but extreme passion and not being happy with the outcome and just kind of lashing out, if you will. And listen, sometimes when we receive devastating news in life, we don't always respond the way we like, do we? I mean, there's emotional reactions we have, especially when you get the news. We've never had to deal with this, and I hope we'll never have to, but especially the news of the loss of your children. We know some, we have some in this room, possibly that's even listening and watching on Facebook, that have sent some children home to heaven. And you can't even begin to imagine the feeling and the first notification of, listen, your child is gone. Could not imagine. We were watching last night, Christy, Lily, myself, extreme water slides on YouTube. And it's either that or roller coasters one. But there was a sad, sad commentary. A sad situation happened. I believe it was in Texas. I may be wrong. But a family was at a water park, and one of their children went down a slide, and not going into all the great details, but the child died. He got wound up, and he got stuck in the netting of the slide, and the little child, little baseball player, he died. Could you imagine going to a water park and with your child happy and giddy and then not going home with your child? A moment of passion, intense emotion, I'm sure. And no doubt Job, when he arose from all of this news, there was this emotional reaction. Hey, I lost my farm, my friends, but most of all, I lost my family, my kids. Sometimes in life, when things happen, we respond with anger. Sometimes in life when things happen, we just cry. Other times in life when things happen, some may retreat, be reclusive in their life. They don't want to see people. They don't want to shake hands. They don't want to deal with any conversation. In fact, I spoke with somebody, it's been a great while ago, but they were testifying, and they said, Brother Justin, I lost my loved one. I came to church, and everybody was saying, and quoting Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. And they said, if I hear that one more time, I want to deck somebody right between the eyes. Because while that verse is true, if you're going through something, it's hard to put that in shoe leather. Amen? And so we have Job here suffering from emotional pain. I want to say that sometimes emotional pain is much worse than physical pain, because physical pain can heal itself. But sometimes emotional pain lasts for years. But there was a second kind of reaction Job had. It was emotional. It was an emotional reaction. But number two, he had a spiritual reaction. Notice what the scriptures say in verse 20. Then Job arose. What he did when he got the news. And rent his mantle and shaved his head. And fell down upon the ground and worshiped. That's why Job is my hero. He worshiped the Lord. Now, I think in our day, the primary goal of worship is misconstrued. Now, while this is worship this morning, we come to sing God's praises, to raise our hands. In fact, Hebrews says, let us offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But what is the true meaning of worship? You know, we think of worship, and sometimes we only think of the half of worship. And to actually think of when you lose your child, going to the house of God and raise your hands and say, God is good. Listen, I would love to say that. Sometimes that doesn't happen until down the road. There's another side of worship. The Bible says that then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. In worship, there was a spiritual reaction. Those who study the Bible know there is a law in the scriptures called the law of first mention. And typically, the first time that you see a word used regularly in scripture, in that context, it normally carries the same meaning through scripture. In the first time that the word worship is used in the Bible, goes back to Genesis 22. In fact, turn to Genesis 22 for a moment. Hold your place here in Job. Genesis 22 in verse number 5. Where Abraham had a promise from God that it was through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Eventually the Savior would come. And in Genesis 22, in verse number 5, the first time the word worship is used is here. And the Bible says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. First of all, the word worship within itself comes from two words, worth-ship. It gives attention to the object. What's the worth of Jesus this morning? Our Savior, invaluable. He is precious. He's altogether lovely. And so we see that the word worship means worth-ship. But also this word worship, it's connected to three things in this chapter, Genesis 22. Number one, worship is connected to obedience, real worship. I'm talking about something that goes beyond the house of God into our daily life. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham or test him and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and here it is, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse number 3 says, Abraham took off. Now, Abraham knew it was through Isaac. He had been watching that boy. He had been loving that boy. He had been, I'm saying, every time Abraham, there was Isaac. Now the Lord is asking for Isaac to present him for a burnt offering. Wait a minute, Lord. You told me and you promised me it was through this vehicle, it was through this situation, it was through my child that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And now you are requiring of him. I don't understand. You see, the scriptures give no indication of that. Hebrews even says that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, and that he knew, and this is my version, he knew that God would raise him up from the dead if he had to. Abraham was going to obey God. And I want to say this morning, that is the heart of worship, is obeying God and his word, placing God's word, as it were, over your head. And you are under the word of God, and you are walking in obedience. And let me say this, in spite of what the situation looks like. Okay, God. And he said in verse number 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Keep in mind verse number 1. That God did test Abraham. He was testing his faith. You see, I believe God knew what Abraham was going to do, but it was an opportunity for Abraham to do the right thing. It was an opportunity for obedience in the promise of God to meet each other and to walk out in shoe leather. And Abraham within himself, it was so convinced that God was going to use Isaac as that promised seed, that Abraham was going through with this act of offering him for a burnt offering, and the dagger was going down, and he believed so much if he killed him, God would have to raise him from the dead to fulfill his word. Listen, you may have gotten some news in your life this week. You may not be like Job, maybe close to Job. I don't know. But the Bible says that what Job did when he got that news is that he fell down and he worshiped. He was expressing obedience to God in spite of what things looked like. Something else about Genesis 22. We see obedience here is a part of worship, but also sacrifice is a part of worship. Because he says in verse 2 in that latter part, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You see, when it comes to real worship, not only obedience is attached to it, but sacrifice is attached to it. Now, the Lord isn't asking any of us to bring any goats or lambs in the sanctuary and hold up a dagger and kill them or slay them and present the blood. But he is asking us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Romans 12:1. And you see, whenever we do that, whether everything is going well or not so well, when we say, Lord, here's today. You have made today. Today is full of problems. This world is full of sickness. But Lord, here this morning, as I wake and start my week, I present myself to you the best I know how. I'm surrendering to your word, that your word is true, your promises are for me. And Father, I'm doing my very best to walk it out in shoe leather. I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. And I'm so humbled over that. Sacrifice. Real worship. Obedience. Real worship. But also attached to this word worship in Genesis 22 has to do with elimination. Notice if you would in verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham, listen. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back again to you. I just want to throw out a suggestion here. I'm not dogmatically saying this, but you can definitely see some attachment to Abraham's focus and being in tune with God and God asking him to present his son for a burnt offering. You can see that he eliminated some young men. He eliminated some men, some people he had that were assisting him while he went a little further. This is all I'm suggesting right here. Could it be the reason why Abraham left those men in one place and he and the lad went to another place? Could it be that they may have tried to talk him out of his decision? Well, hold on, Abraham. You know, God wouldn't tell you to do one thing and do another, and God wouldn't. He's not contrary. The Lord does not give a command and say, tell us to do something, and it's contrary one to another. He's not a God of confusion, but he is a God of testing. And he does examine our faith, the Lord does. And you see, I believe that, just my belief, I believe that these men here, when he said in verse number 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Abraham was set on his decision. Abraham believed the promises of God, and because of that, he didn't need any distraction in his life. And his walk with the Lord was narrowing to a mountain called Moriah, where he would offer his son Isaac for a burnt offering. And listen, the closer he got to that place, the more people needed to go from his life. Let me say this in comparison in the New Testament. Jesus, when he was getting close to Calvary, did he not in the Garden of Gethsemane, Brother Ceylon, only have 3 men with him? The inner circle. Peter, James, and John. What I want to say is that when it comes to worship, sometimes, if not all times, elimination is attached to that word. If we're going to be all God wants us to be, whether it's we're hearing good news or bad news, just our daily walk as Christians, if we are going to hit the bullseye of where he wants us to be, we are going to have to worship the Lord in the good times, the bad times. And I want to say that obedience is attached to it, sacrifice is attached to it, and elimination is attached to real worship. Could there be some things that need to go from our life so that we can really worship the Lord? Abraham said, you men, stay there. Me and my boy are going to worship out of obedience. He's the sacrifice. I'm eliminating you. I don't need no feedback. I don't need no distraction. I don't need to be disabled with this. I'm trusting God. And even if I kill him, God will raise him from the dead. That's how much Abraham believed. we are experiencing a world crisis. Devastation is on the news every single day. Yet we will still hear devastating news. I'm telling you, sometimes I just feel like, when is my doorbell going to ring? Have you ever felt that way? My goodness, so many people it's happening to. We're going to hospital surgeries and we're going to cemeteries. When is my phone going to ring? When am I going to get a bad report? I try not to think that way, but it's a work not to think that way. That old saying, you can't always dodge the bullet. Well, I'll dodge as long as I can. And God's my bulletproof vest. You know what I'm saying? Man, that one was close to home. Sounds like Star Trek up here, laser beams. But that, Abraham was at that place. And again, back to the book of Job in chapter number 1. We see the response or the reaction of Job. Bible says in verse number 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, emotional response, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Spiritual response. Job is my hero, one of them. He's my hero. Because he knew somewhere in the providence, in the mind of God, he was in control. In church this morning, for us to move forward healthy spiritually, we've got to remember and know that God is in control. I know we have a pandemic. I know there's politics ready to slit each other's throats. Politicians. That's the way they portray it. And I know there's protesting, and I know there's hatred, and there's violence, and every morning I just dread to turn the news on, but I want to see what the weather is. Who's dead now? Who got shot up in Atlanta? And listen, it's trickling down to our suburbs, friend. It's everywhere. But I believe somewhere in all of this mess, we serve a God who is fully aware and in full control. If I didn't believe that, I'd close the Bible up. I'd go home and say, please find a new pastor. Because I'm definitely not suitable for the pulpit. We see the reaction of Job. Devastation, listen to this, devastation drove him to the Lord. I like what Exodus 19:4 says. And this was Lord speaking as he delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He likened himself to an eagle. He says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Listen, I want to say, if you're a child of God, God is bringing us unto himself through devastation. If you had to go to the cemetery lately or in times past, I know it hurts and I know it's hard, but God is bringing you unto himself. He doesn't want to bring out the worst in you. He wants to bring out the best in you. And sometimes it's through tragedy. Other times it's through triumph. But that's what he did under the hand of Moses. As a mother eagle, he bore them on his wings and brought them unto himself. Peter, James, and John in that garden, wasn't pleasant, was it? It was a time actually when Jesus prayed and he sweat great drops of blood. He found out that he was betrayed by Judas and then went on to the cross. Being with Jesus, sometimes there is things that happen that we don't understand, but there's a closeness there. He's our mother eagle. He's our heavenly Father. And Job realized that. And so after all these things happened, what Job did was he responded emotionally. He rent his mantle. He was in a passion of fit. He shaved his head. But then he responded spiritually and he worshiped. He said, Lord, I don't exactly know everything you're doing, but I don't have to know because you're good. Out of obedience, he was worshiping the Lord out of sacrifice. He was worshiping the Lord. Job worshiped the Lord. So that's the reaction of Job. But I want you to notice something else. Not only do we see the reaction of Job, talking about when Job got the news, but now we see the response of Job. How did Job respond? Look in verse number 21. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I want to say that Job's response was a centered response. It was centered. You say, what do you mean centered? It was a focused response. He was centered mentally and in his heart. Because Job, number one, understood his association with the earth. Look what he says. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. That's a given. That's how we get here. Then he said, and naked shall I return thither. He said, the same way I came is the same way. I didn't come in this world with anything, and I'm leaving with nothing. He says, it's all on the table. You know, you never see at a graveside, or you never see in a funeral procession, a U-Haul behind a hearse. You just don't. You want to know why? Because we're bringing nothing with us. The only thing we're taking with us is that moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you have digested an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever, the Word of God. The moment you digested that and said yes to Jesus, your body may lay in the ground, but it's an incorruptible seed that was in your body. And because of that seed, you'll live forever. Amen. Praise the Lord for the incorruptible seed of God. And we see that here, that Job had a response that was centered. He said, I came in naked, I'm leaving naked. This is the way that I came into the world. He understood his association with the earth. Job also said in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job knew he was only here for a few days. He was centered in his mind during this time. He knew that when he came into this world, he didn't have a wife. Didn't have any children, didn't have any substance, didn't have no finances, didn't have anything, no testimony, nothing. He was a baby. The same way we all come in this world. We come into this world, wah! I can remember holding Lily. I'll still hold her if she'll let me. Maybe not like this, but she lets me hold her like this. But she was wrapped up, like looked like a little... like a little Indian baby or something, all wrapped up, swaddling clothes. She's like a little cocoon there. And I was the first person she's seen. That's terrible, isn't it? Clean your room. I held her and like a little football. And that's it. That's how she came. She didn't know anybody. Didn't know who I was. Doesn't have the friends she has now. None coming into the world. No kind of education. No nothing. We all came to this world that way. And we're all going to leave that way. Outside of your profession in Christ. We're all going to leave that way. And maybe if we would just glean some things from Job and know that he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Maybe that would help a little bit in our daily functions. Knowing that if it's finances, and look, we ought to pay our bills and all of that, and try to live a comfortable life. But if we're stressed and we're worried, and our devotion toward God and our worship toward God is fleeting back, and we're backsliding because of finances, we need to get all back in perspective our being here. Or some kind of relationship, or some kind of struggle, some kind of situation going on in our life. Job was level-headed during this time. I say that. He'll probably say, no, I wouldn't, but God kept me strong. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And so he was centered. Job's response was a centered response. He understood his association with the earth, but also he also understood part of his response. He understood who his source was. Notice what the rest of that verse says. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. First of all, he says, the Lord is the one who gives. And because of that, that means it came from him. It was a gift of his. He gave us what we have this morning. And that's the part that hurts so bad when it's taken away, is that we have to remember who gave it and it's not ours. It's so much easier preaching it than living it, I tell you. So much more easier. But he said that the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Then Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The word blessed here in verse number 21. It means to bless. It means to praise. It means to salute or adorn. Which tells me something. That Job's response when he said this phrase tells me that he was focused on the blesser and not so much the blessings. Now, I'm not minimizing the loss of his kids. Do not take me that way. I am not. But concerning the other things, and really concerning all of it, because it's stated here, Job is saying, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have nothing but good to say about the Lord. He has given gifts. He has taken gifts. He says, so I'm going to bless his name. He said, I'm going to praise his name or salute him. I'm going to adorn his name. Job was caught up in the blesser, the blesser, and not so much the blessings. That's why in life it hurts so bad when we lose things, because we are, at times, can be caught up with the blessings and not so much the blesser. I like what Paul said in the book of Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why did he say that? Paul said, because the Lord is the object of my rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Because circumstances aren't favorable at times. You know what Paul says? He goes on and he talks about, I've been in the deep all these days and I hadn't eaten all these days. I know what it's like to abound. I know what it's like to suffer need. I know what it's like to be up and down. And in fact, he said, I believe it was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, maybe wrong, but he said, there was a particular time when we came to Asia that we even despaired of life. Yet God showed himself faithful even then. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord, because he is sure, he is steadfast, he is always faithful, always on time, plentiful in forgiveness, gracious and merciful. The Lord is. That's why we can rejoice in him. And that's why Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me say one more thing. We'll bring it to a close in a moment. By Job, and I love this the most probably, by Job's response, you probably already know it, by Job's response, blessed be the name of the Lord, proved the devil wrong. Look back in verse number 11. You remember the conversation between God and the devil? The devil said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that it hath, and he will curse thee. Try to curse God's people. Blessings will come out. You see, the devil wanted Job to curse God and say, God, you're unfair. God, you're unkind. You've taken my farm and my finances, my friends. You've taken my kids. But no, a cursing didn't come out. But a blessing came out. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He proved the devil wrong. Let somebody in this house this morning, this coming up week, let it start with me. Let's prove the devil wrong. We're not going to fail and stumble. We're not going to backslide on God. We're not going to do all these things. We're going to read His Word. We're going to pray. We're going to be an encouragement to somebody. But the devil today is saying, you're going to fail miserably this week. My response to that is, well, if I do, I'm forgiven. And God will give me grace to go on, and I'm not using that as a green card to sin. The devil's telling some of you that you're not loved. This week you're going to be by yourself, and all those intrusive thoughts are going to portray your mind and say that you're defeated, you're forgotten, that the world will never be better. However God wants to deal with that, prove them wrong. Job said the devil said that Job will curse thee. Now that is poetical justice. When someone says it's going to go one way to your detriment, but the thing turned around going the best way to His glory, that's poetical justice, church. That's poetical. That's what poetical justice is. It's something that has transpired in the benefit of you and your situation. And that's my definition, at least. I found God to be true in this sense, that there's times in life where the devil has told me I'm going to fail. We're not going to be able to pay our bills. You know, things are going to get bad and we're going to be under a bridge. Things like the devil could tell you all kinds of things. You're going to die at 30 years old. I'm still living. You know, all these things are going to happen. Yet God has provided, and I'm 38. God has been good. All of our bills have been paid. We're tithing. Let me just say this. We've tithed the whole time. Anyway, not bragging, just saying that it's a commandment to tithe. And listen, you can't outgive God. Might as well go ahead and tithe because He's going to get it anyway. God has been faithful. And Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. His response was one that proved the devil wrong. Prove him wrong this week, church. Prove him wrong this week. Prove the devil wrong. The devil wants to bring out our worst. God wants to bring out our best. One more thing as they come. This point will be short. The response of Job, the reaction of Job, but then the reality of Job. Look in verse number 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job did not sin with his lips. He didn't curse God. In fact, if you look in chapter 2 in verse number 10, but he said unto her, speaking to his wife here, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil or those less favorable things? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And again in chapter number 2 and verse number 3, Satan comes again. And God says, again, there's none like him. But also, he says, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. That tells me, church, that there is grace to walk with Jesus. We don't have to succumb and give in to what the media is saying, what politicians are saying, what we're seeing in the world, family problems, all kinds of problems. We don't have to sink and give in. We can still hold fast our integrity. We can still move on with the Lord. We can still worship the Lord. Obedience, sacrifice, and elimination. We can still worship the Lord. But the reality is that he sinned not with his lips. He sinned not with his life. Wasn't a perfect man, but he wasn't removed from his steadfastness. He proved the devil wrong. But then number two, he attributed not folly to God. If you notice in verse 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He did not attribute folly to God. Did not get mad at God. Did not blame God. You know, up until the pandemic time and probably even recently, as you all, I'm sure, come in contact and hear about people leaving church, and you ask them, you know, what did God do to you? I'm leaving that church because so-and-so. And there's been some times where I've asked people, well, what did God do to you? Because you should be going for him anyway. And you know what the response is always? Nothing. He didn't do nothing to me. Job is saying, God is not here to hurt me, but to help me. Now, we read that. Job didn't have that to read. The devil wants to bring out the worst, and God wants to bring out the good. And I want to say, in my life, I attribute no folly to God Almighty at all. The ups, the downs, the ins, the outs. A bad day now as a Christian is better than a good day as a sinner. That's just how it is. God has been good. Not sure who the message may have spoke to. I hope it was a blessing and a help. Father, this morning we love you, we thank you, we praise you. During the time of invitation, we pray that you would minister to hearts and let there be a liberty to do so. We're here for you and not any person. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to respond, if you need to praise the Lord, or if you need to pray, the altar is open. Who would be the first this morning? Just feel free to come if you need to come. What will you do with the news? We're always receiving news.
Just as I am and waiting.
Anybody else? Not twisting any arms. Just if you need to come, you can come. Please feel free to come. We're saying one more verse. If nobody comes, we'll close.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome.
Those watching online, this is your opportunity. Receive.